Last week we learned the Gemara Chafala from Meralev. 2 weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah.
3 weeks ago, yeah.
2 weeks ago, right. Last week was Shavuos.
So we learned the Gemara Chafala from Meralev. The Gemara says, the Gemara quotes Rav Chisda. If you have a behemah, about 15 lines from the top. Behemah that's on the shoot for chetzah shal yisrael chetzah shal nachri, and the Yisrael is interested in eating some flesh na yantiv, so he has to shecht the behemah. Aye, but he's shechting half of the flesh is going to go for the nachri, and the din is lachem v'lo liyakum. How is he permitted to do the malacha of shechita on behalf of the nachri? So the answer is yepshele kazayis basa v'lo shechita. It's the same malacha. It's one malach of shechita. He has to do the malach of shechita in order that he should be able to eat his half of the behemah. So there's no additional aveira. There's no additional malach. He's permitted to do the shechita, even though it's chetzi shalat.
Like the Shabbos, if he has to shecht ochila.
Yeah. But if he has an isa, chetzi shal Yisrael, and chetzi shal nochrim, he's not permitted to knead, to mix all of the flour and to knead it all and to make many chalas. Because Efshele Mefalga Balisha, the Gemara says, you don't say Efshele Kazayis Basav Lo Shechita. You don't say that since he wants to eat half, so the Mele he's permitted to do the whole Malacha. No, it's a separate Lisha on every little bit of flour that he's going to do a Lisha on. And a separate Afi on everything, so that's why he's not permitted to do it. That's the Din. That's the Gemara, that's the Din. So Taisus has the Kasha that someone raised last week, the second Taisus on the top. Akasha, that earlier on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, there was a machlokes hatanoim. If a person is interested in so much challah on Yontif, person wants so much bread on Yontif, so he's permitted to knead the dough and to bake it. He's allowed to bake the amount that he needs.
Thanks, Bella.
Oh, so there's a machlokes hatanoim. Is he permitted to bake? Is he permitted to do twice as much? Let's say this is going to be more than marbe. B'shem is going to be marbe b'malachas. He's going to do more lisha, more afiyah. He's going to do many more malachas. Mm-hmm.
To get more.
Even though he only plans to eat half of it today. So what should be the tzad lahakil? Why should be, he's doing a malach on yontif, to eat the bread if the yontif is over? So what should be the heter? So that's a machloike satanoim. So Reb Shimon ben Elazar says in the Brice, so the first Tanakam says, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to bake more bread than you need. Then you need, unless you think that you may. You don't say Safik deraisa l'chumah. There's a Ramban in Mohammed and Psochim where the Ramban writes, you don't say Safik deraisa l'chumah, that you're only allowed to bake exactly the amount that you know for sure that you need, and anything that you're not sure, you're not allowed to bake. No! A Safik Eichel Nefesh is also called Eichel Nefesh. Let's say he has guests. He doesn't exactly how many guests. He wants to bake cookies. He wants to bake cookies for the guests. So he's going to jalva, he's only going to bake exactly the amount that he knows for sure they're going to eat. And what if they eat up all the cookies, he's going to be left with nothing? They'll be embarrassed, they want some more. So you're permitted to bake, isn't it? Hoyle is mutter on the level of the raisa. With the rabbanon, you're not allowed to rely on hoyle. Hoyle is the machlekes rabba rab chizda, that's what we're going to talk about today. There's a machlekes here on our daf, and it comes from sochem daf mevov. Machlekes rabba rab chizda, what's the din if a person bakes? Cooks and bakes on Yontif, and he has beferish in mind that he's going to eat this food next week. Beferish in mind not to eat it today, he's going to eat it next week. So Rav Chisda says that he gets malchus, Rav Chisda maloike, that there's no such thing as hoyle. In order that the malachas should be called malachas achal nefesh, that it should be mutter to cook the food, he has to have in zin that he plans to eat it today. And Rabbi says no, that the heter achal nefesh sets itself up automatically. If the case is such that theoretically one could have eaten all of the food that he cooked and he baked today, even though he has beferish in mind to save it for a bar mitzvah, he's making a shevet brachas bar mitzvah next month and he's going to put it in the freezer, but since he cooks everything on Yontem, theoretically there are so many Jews in the community, theoretically they could all come and eat up all this food. So the situation, the circumstance sets itself up as one of Echal Nefesh, even though there was no Kavanas Agaber. So most of the Rishonim Paschal, like Rabbah, that you say hoyel. Hoyel means hoyel v'miklei le'ochim chazilei hashtanami chazilei. If guests would come and they would eat up all of the food, then it would turn out there would be oichal nefesh. So it's called oichal nefesh, even though the kavanah hagavra is beferish fakir. The kavanah of the person who's doing the cooking, the baking, is to eat it next week. So the Gemara says in Psochim, the Rabbah only says this on the level of the raisa. Hoyfim yontav lachol, Rabbah Omar ain't a loike. He doesn't get malchus because there's no isa de raisa. But with the Rabbanon, there is an Issa. When do you say that even with the Rabbanan there's no Iser if you have a big Shas HaTchak? If you have a big Shas HaTchak, then you rely on the Din Deraisa. What's an example of a Shas HaTchak? One example is if Yontif falls out on Erev Shabbos. Shavuos fell out on Erev Shabbos. If you'll say that you're not allowed to cook on Yontif for Shabbos, so we make an Erev Tavshilin. With the Erev Tavshilin, we're permitted to cook. But the Gemara says in Sochim on Daf Nevov that the whole institution of the Erev Tavshilin is only the Rabbanon. On the level of their Isa, you don't need an Erev Tavshilin, doesn't affect any change, doesn't change anything. So what's the Heter based on in Atura? So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi, we understand that you're cooking on Yontif. Theoretically, you could have eaten up all the food today on Yontif. I have a fairish in mind that you're going to eat this food tomorrow on Shabbos. That's so the Rabbi holds the Minatera, that's Mutter. So although with the Rabbanon we normally say that it's us, so you're not allowed to rely on Hoyel. But this is the Chashas HaTchak. If you say don't rely on Hoyel, you're going to have to eat cold food on Shabbos. You won't be able to have freshly cooked food. So the Chashas HaTchak, we do rely on Hoyel. We the Gzeir of the Rabbanon, not to rely on Hoyel. Wasn't made b'shas atcha.
What if he doesn't have any preconceived notion that what the extra is for another time? Like people cook, you know, people drop it from the house. He just cooks halavah in case anybody.
That's how he
cooks. He say in his mind that this is I'm going to put it away for a bar mitzvah. That I can understand. It should be
awesome in the rabbanon, yeah.
But if in general he cooks extra. I don't see how he is either, because you never know how much people are going to eat.
Okay, yeah, if there's a possibility. Out, yeah. If there's a possibility that all the guests may want to eat everything up, if there's a possibility, that's mamish called Echal Nevesh. But let's say the Balabasta cooks, she always cooks, my wife always cooks for Shabbos and for Shul, there's always leftover for the week. It's not shaykh that there shouldn't be leftovers. So then if she'll cook on Yontif, and for Shul there's going to be leftover, so that's based on Hoyel. So that's going to be awesome at the Rabbanon. On Yontif, you're only permitted to cook, halacha lemaise, you're only permitted to cook that amount that you think you possibly may eat today. With the further stretch of the imagination that possibly may eat today.
And Shabbos left out of the tune, you're not allowed to eat on Sunday or Monday?
Yeah, you are allowed to eat. Yeah, why not? Why not? You're allowed to. Here, the Mishnah has another. The Mishnah has another example of a Shas HaTchak. That the din is that it's permissible. Misukenes, yeah. And Chafeh and Aleph, the Mishnah has. Behema Misukenes. Let's say Behema gets sick on Yontif. A kosher Behema gets sick on Yontif.
And
it may, he's afraid, the Balabas is afraid the Behema may die. Now he's not really interested in eating flesh. He already finished eating his fleshig meal. Not interested in eating any more today. But if he's not going to shech the Behema, it may die. And it'll be Nevela. So he'll lose a hefsed moment. Like this, if he'll shecht it, it'll be kosher, a flesh, he'll be able to put it in the freezer, he'll be able to eat it next week. But if you don't allow him to shecht it, so it's going to be a hefsed mamis. So the Mishnah says, Behemah misukenes, if Behemah is besakon, it's going to die, and he won't shecht it. Lo yishchad, he's not allowed to shecht it on Yontif. Elin kein yeshers bayom lechem amena, kazayis tzli. If there's enough time, if it's early enough in the afternoon of Yontif, that he can shecht it and he can eat some of the flesh. So it sounds from the Mishnah, if there's enough time to theoretically, yesh sheyus bayoyim, there's enough time left in the day to theoretically eat a kazayis of flesh, it's mutter to shecht it, even though he absolutely doesn't plan to eat it. He doesn't plan to eat any flesh today. So the Gemara says in Psachim, according to Rabbi, that's how you read the Mishnah. If theoretically there's enough time to eat the flesh today, even though he absolutely doesn't have it in mind, so then, since it's a Shas HaTchak, because it's going to be a Hefsed moment, so the Chachamim would never go there. So we leave it on the level of Deraisa, and we rely on Hoyel. How's Rav Chizda going to be the Mishnah? Rav Chizda denies the whole thing of Hoyel. Yeah. Chizda says that in order to be called Echal Nevesh, you have to actually have in mind Kavonis Agavra. You have to have in mind that you plan to eat it today. So how does he read the Mishnah? So the Gemara says in Sochem, that's how he's Matchik a little bit. You're not allowed to Shech the Behemim Mesukeres unless there is enough time to eat today a Kazayis flesh. And he actually has in mind that he's going to eat because I flesh. Not some theoretically, there is enough time to theoretically. No. The Pile Mamish, he's going to force himself to eat because I flesh. It'll come out that it was Eichel Nefesh. But Rabbi reads the Mishnah Kipshuto, that if there's theoretically enough time, so there's a Hoyel, and Hoyel is enough to be Matar on the level of the Raisa. So since it's a Shas HaTchak, it's a Hefsed Mamish, so they may never go to the Rabbanon.
No, it's let's say
a person reaches the age of 120 and he passes away. That's not a trefer. That's a geisus. A geisus is kachay l'chol dvar. If you shoot the person, if you choke him, a moment before he lets that person has another hour to go. He's soon going to die. That's a geisus. And if the doctor kills him or someone kills him, so the chayv misim mitam ratzech. If you kill a treifa, you're not chayv. Treifa is a different thing. A treifa means a behema or a human being, whether a behema or a person, who has simoni treifas. There's tissue damage which is going to cause the person or the animal to die earlier. But it's just the person is old and weak and their koich has come to an end. They just die because everything stops functioning. So that's called a geisus. That's not a treifa. No, no. Just that when you shecht, there's a mishnah chulin, when you shecht the behema misukenes, so you have to know for sure, let's say, the animal doctor can assess that this animal is going to die in another 2 minutes. So I quickly call the sheikha, then he quickly shechts, and he shechts the behema, and it turns out they finished shechting the behema exactly the same time the behema would have died anyway. So it comes out that his shechita didn't kill the animal. The animal is going to die a natural death at that amount of time. So that's what the Mishnah says. You have to have, when you shech the behema misukenes, you have to have a little pirkus. You have to have that the animal should start shaking its legs after the sheikh had finished to show that the shechita killed the animal. That the animal would have lived longer if not for the fact that the shechita killed the animal. The shechita has to kill the animal. That's the definition of shechita. Not stam that you shech the neck while the animal is alive. No. Shechta while the animal is alive is not enough. And that shechita killed the animal, caused it to die a little earlier. So that's a little questionable. Sometimes that's highly questionable. Did the shechit really kill the animal? Did it die earlier than it would have otherwise died? So that's what the Gemara says, that the Cheskel HaNavi pleads with the Rabbanu Shalom. He had a nevuah about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Rabbanu Shalom told him he should eat lechem megoal, he should eat filthy bread that's dipped in soya, no, in soya sabemis, I think. Rabbanu Shalom told him to eat the awful tasting food as a simon, what's going to be after the Churban Abayi. So Cheskel HaNavi asks Rachmanis, would Rabbanu Shalom please give me a break, Rabbanu Shalom. I never eat this kind of stuff. He never ate that kind of terrible thing. So he says, Nedela lo yachalti, treifa lo yachalti, never ate treifa, never ate. Give me a break. So the Gemara Chulin asks, what's the yichas? All of Ruma yid. Nobody eats Nedela's or treifas. What's the yichas? So the Gemara says, no, he would never eat a behema, shahara bachacham, or a behema, misukenes, that they said, hurry quickly, shecht, huh? Okay. He wouldn't need a behemoth that they rushed the shechit in to shecht it quickly, because it's a judgment call whether the shechita really killed the animal or the animal would have died a natural death. So even if the Chacham paskins that he thinks that the shechita did kill the animal would have lived on longer, another few minutes, if not for the fact that the shechit shechted it and killed it earlier. But that's already a judgment call. So that's already a behemah shahara b'chacham. So that's the Gemara says Amidas Chasidus Kuskus. Yeah, the Gemara says that if they tell the sheikh to hurry quickly to shech the behemah before it dies, so that's a judgment call whether it's really so. So the psak is a correct psak. The behemah is kosher, but still it's a psak that wasn't so pashut, was not so glad. So that's what he's saying. He always was medaktik tikla kosher. That's the mocker in the Gemara. And it's quoted in Yeridah. The Rambam quotes it, that a person is interested in prepping Midas Chasidus should not eat a behemah shahar, should not eat from flesh of a behemah shahar b'chacham. Yeah.
There's a story about the Vilna Gaon also had a story like that, no? That he was eating chicken, it didn't eat it, then it came out, there's a shine on the chicken, and then when they ate it.
Uh-huh.
There's some story like that.
Make a lady.
I don't know. I heard a story about the Chafetz Chaim. They told me a story about the Chafetz Chaim, that when he was very old, he used to have a Jewish woman cook in the kitchen. His wife passed away. He died at a very old age. Yeah. So he had a Jewish woman cooking in the kitchen, and then he used to have a few bochum from the yeshiva eat with him on Shabbos. On Friday night, when the Jewish maid served the soup, so that he was talking, learning with the Talmidim, so he asked one of the boys to please go into the kitchen and ask the maid whether this soup is kosher, So the boy thought that he was over a bottle. What do you mean the soup is kosher? A religious
woman.
Thank you. A religious woman is taking care of course everything is kosher. What's that, Shaila? So he made believe, the bochum made believe that he didn't hear. And then, all the bochum made up the soup, and the Chafetz Chaim was just sitting and talking and learning and didn't touch the soup. So then a few minutes went by, so he asked the bocher didn't budge. So he asked him, could you go into the kitchen and ask the maid whether the soup is kosher? So again, he made believe that he didn't hear. Was he over bocher? What kind of a stupid question is that? Then they're talking, still didn't eat the soup. So he said again, can you go into the kitchen? So he didn't know what to do. So he went to the kitchen, and he said in Yiddish to the maid, he says, excuse me, I don't know what this means, but the Chafetz Chaim said, I should ask you if the soup is kosher. So she says, oh yeah, I forgot, tell him he shouldn't eat the soup. Because he gave me instructions that whenever there's a shayla on the chicken, I should serve the chicken, and I should tell him that he doesn't want to eat it because it's behemah shahar v'chacham. And there was a shayla on the chicken. She had to ask the Rav in town whether the chicken was kosher. So tell him he shouldn't eat the soup. That's a story that I heard about the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim is an old man, so she asked the Rav. The Rav had smicha from the Chafetz Chaim. My father-in-law, Zechan Avracha, told me a mice about the Chafetz Chaim. See, I used to shave on Chalamoid. When I used to shave all the time, so Rav Soloveitchik used to insist that you have to shave on Chalamoid. So I remember the first Chalamoid after I got married, so I shaved. So my father-in-law didn't give me any musa. He just told me a story. So he said there were two Bachrim and Radin who shaved on Chalamoid. Chafetz Chaim is very opposed to shaving Bechlal. He felt he printed a few Kuntresim. It's in the Kol Kisvei Chafetz Chaim in the three volumes that they should all grow beards. In fact, Rabbi Peretzky told us in Yeshiva that the Chafetz Chaim wouldn't allow them to give an aliyah to a bachur who shaved. Anyone who shaved wouldn't give an aliyah. But then when he was old, he couldn't see already. He was a sagik. So they said the gaboim did give aliyahs because he couldn't see that they were giving aliyahs to boys who shaved. Anyway, but on Chalamoy for sure, they weren't allowed to shave. So the they told the Chafetz Chaim that the two boys, either he saw himself or they told him that they shaved the Chalamoy, so he said he's going to kick them out of the yeshiva. So they were good bachurim though. They were frum and they were interested in learning. They wanted to shave. So they spoke to the Mashgiach and they asked the Mashgiach, Rachmanis, what can they do? They want to learn. They want to learn on an yeshiva. So what should they do? So the Mashgiach told them that they should, before the Chafetz Chaim kicks out of Talmud, so he's going to give you Musa, he's going to call you into Zohar, he's going to give you Musa over the head, and then he's going to ask you, where do you want to go? And he's going to give you money to travel to that city. So tell him you want to go learn by Rav Reines. Reines had a yeshiva in Lida, I think.
College.
The Mizrahi yeshiva. So tell him you want to learn the Mizrahi yeshiva, and that's it. And he won't kick you. So the first bacha comes in, and he gives him over the head why he shaved the chalamoy. You understand, I'm kicking you out. And how much money do you need to go home? So he tells him so much money he needs. He didn't ask him where he's going. The next bacha comes in, gives him musa. And then he says, kicking him out, how much money do you need to go? So he says, same amount of money. So he says, what do you mean same amount of money? But you live in two different cities. Why? So he said, they made up that they want to lie by learn and they want to learn. So they're both going to learn by Rav Reines' yeshiva. So he says, he has a shayla, what should he do? So he's going to call in the Mashgiach. Mashgiach was the one who told him that they should say. Call in the Mashgiach. So he called in the Mashgiach. Mashgiach put on a face. It's a serious shayla that they asked the Rav. Why they have to ask the Rav? Because the Rav is a young man who was a musmach from the Chafetz Chaim, and it was a big kanoi against Zionism. So for sure, the Mashgiach knew for sure that, I don't know who the Rav was, my father-in-law didn't tell him. He said, the Rav is a young man who was a big kanoi who for sure, they knew in advance he was going to tell the Chafetz Chaim, the psak is, you have to take him back. They have to remain in the yeshiva. But I continued shaving Hachama. That was the story. Okay. The Chafetz Chaim exactly not allowed to shave. Okay. See, here there's an important, this Taisus is an important Taisus. Rav Soloveitchik first said the same as Rav Moshe Feinstein has, that the Gemara, the Mishnah say in Elam Megalchin, that if a person was onus, that he wasn't able to take a haircut, wasn't able to shave before Yontif, he was in a hospital. He was in prison, he was on a boat, there was no barber, simply he was in jail. So then he's permitted to shave a chalmoy. If it's anoin, it's the muchach. If it's anoin, it's darah muchach, till people don't know about it, then he's not allowed to shave. But whenever it's anoin, it's the muchach, that all the people in the neighborhood know about it, so then he's permitted to shave a chalmoy. So Rav Soloveitchik said the same as Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his Sefer, that you all know that people who shave every day couldn't have shaven the hair that didn't grow yet. An Erev Yontif, there's nothing you can do
to prevent
the hair from growing on Chalamoy that you're going to need to shave again. So So that's what Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Sefer. So Rav Soloveitchik said, and once you have a het that the shave, let's say Ayetzim Beis Asurim, Bom in Bedina Sayam, or he was sick in the hospital, and he has a het that the shave. So just a het, if he wants to, he's allowed to shave, does want, he doesn't have to. So Rav Soloveitchik taught, no, Mishum Kovod HaRegel, Yimachuyif to shave. He taught that's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot that says, Hamavazah Samoyed, the same Lechel Kalaman Bo, person walks around Chalamoyed. Rough, he doesn't. If he's allowed to shave, he doesn't shave and he doesn't shower and he doesn't wear Shabbos Dikah, he doesn't wear Yantav Dikah Malbushim. So that's Mevazah Hamoed. So that's Rav Soloveitchik taught. Whenever you have a head to shave, so he thought that you're mechuyev to shave.
He told us about the Nedib Yehuda and also Pashkin.
Yeah, but the Nedib Yehuda writes he has a Tamakomus. Nedib Yehuda also said you're allowed to shave in Chalamoed, but he writes he has a Tamakomus. He's not going to reveal his reason. And then the Chassam Sefer, years later, the Chassam Sefer says he's going to be Holach Rochel Megala Sod. He's going to give the reason why the Nadi Yehuda allowed it and to explain why it doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh. He says the Nadi Yehuda had Balabat and used to shave with a razor. So, and the Nadi Yehuda writes in one of his tshuvas that there's only an Issa Deraisa if you shave with a razor, if you really need a shave. If you really waited a week or so and then you shave with a razor, so that's called Giluach Sheyesh Ba Hashchosa. The Gemara says in the end of Makkos that the Issa Deraisa of shaving with a razor is Giluach Sheyesh Ba Hashchosa. What if a person shaves every day with a razor? So the Nadi Yehuda writes in the Tshuva that he thinks that that's only an Issa Derabbanan. That's not an Issa Deraisa. So he writes, he has a Tam HaKomus, he has a hidden reason why he doesn't want to reveal it, why he thinks you're permitted to shave on Chalamoy. So the Chassam Sefer said that was the reason why, because his Chever, his Balabatim, used to shave with a razor. So he wanted to save them from violating the Issa Deraisa. If they're not going to shave for the whole week of Sukkot or Pesach, then you're going to shave on Isruchak, so it's going to come out that they're in violation of an Issa Deraisa. So the Yehuda Lishitosa held that it's better they should shave every day. So the Chassam Sefer writes, but our Balabatim don't shave with a razor. So the Tam HaKomus, the hidden reason that the Yehuda doesn't apply, so Blightman, that you're not allowed to shave.
To shave with a razor, they would violate, and not Chalmoy. It sounds a little
That's what he claims. Yeah. Mishnah in Nida has a machlokes satanayim. When a child becomes bar mitzvah, you have to have shtei sairis. So how long do the shtei sairis have to be? So there are three different opinions among the tanaim how long the hair has to be. So some rishonim and acharonim say that those shiurim apply to shaving off the hair also. If you shave with a razor, how long did the hair have to be? That it's a violation of Giluach Sheyesh Ba Hashchosa.
Yeah. You said that once in regard to prayers.
Yeah. Some achrayim hold that if you shave so low, let's say Pasa Rosh, and Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to cut off even with a shaver. The Pasa Zokon, we assume, is only also, the Gemara says, only also with a tar. And the Pasa Rosh is a machloikis, and we're machma like Tais. Machloikis is the Rama and Taisis. So Taisis says, and the Shulchan Aruch says like Taisis, that the Pasa Rosh over here, up until the jawbone, you're not allowed to cut off, even if you don't use a razor, even if you use a shaver, you're not allowed to cut it off. So the Shaila said, what if you thin it? What if you cut, what if you make a haircut that's very thin? How short should the hair be that one should be over on the Isser of cutting off the hair? So some Achreinim say, if you made the hair so short that it no longer has the sheer sayer that appears in that Mishnah Nida, the different opinions among the Tanaim, so the Dark Yitzhuba quotes Achreinim say, that that's already a violation of cutting off the Pasa Rosh. And Rav Moshe Soloveitchik thought that it's not so. He thought as long as you can feel that the hair is there, Machlokes and Achrayim. So he thought that was more correct. He thought that the Shiurim that the Mishnah has shouldn't apply over here.
Something about bending over the hair.
One Tana says, Kedei Loch of Rosh HaLikoro. Yeah. To bend over the hair has to be so long that you can bend it over from the tip, you can bend over to the bottom. Yeah. So here, Nochamal, getting back again. Here there's a... We went through this discussion about Hoyil because it's relevant now for this Tosis. The second Tosis on Chof Aleph and Aleph is bothered with Akash. On Daf Yud Zayin, there was a Braisa where there was a Machlokes HaTanoim. Are you permitted to bake more bread than you really need? I, Beferish, don't need so many Chalas. I'm not going to eat so many today. Beferish, the leftover, half of them I may eat today, the other half Beferish I'm going to eat after Yom Tov is over. So you're not allowed to. So the Tanakhama says you're not allowed to bake twice as much. Like over here, if half the dough belongs to the Yisrael, half the dough belongs to the Nachri, so he's not allowed to bake the whole dough. He can only bake half. So he's only allowed to do the malachas on behalf of the Yisrael, not on behalf of the Nachri. So there, Reb Shimon ben Elazar says in the Brice and Tesis, the Gemara says it be passed like Reb Shimon ben Elazar, that if you have a tanur, and our tanur probably doesn't apply, if you have a tanur where if you have a lot of empty space in the tanur, so the heat is not going to be so concentrated, so the bread that's going to bake is not going to be so crispy, it's not going to be so, the crust is not going to be so crunchy, it's not going to be so hard, so then the bread is not going to taste so gewaldig. It's going to taste good, but it's not going to be so tasty. But if you're going to be baking more bread, if you bake twice as much bread in the oven all at the same time, not bezeach hazeh hazeh, you put in another tray and take it out, put in another tray, no, you used to put the bread on the oven, on the bottom, on the sides, on the top, and you used to bake. So if you're going to have more loaves of bread in the oven at the same time, so the heat is going to be more concentrated, it's going to be less air space, so then memele, each loaf of bread is going to taste better. So even the loaves of bread that you are going to eat, half of the loaves of bread you're not going to eat on Yom Tov. So mamash, I'm doing a malacha for tomorrow, not for now. But the halves of the loaves, the half of the loaves that I will eat on Yom Tov will be tastier. So the Gemara says, we pass on like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that you're permitted to bake the extra bread, even though you beferish do not plan to eat all of that bread today on Yom Tov. You're going to eat half today and half after Yom Tov. Still, you're allowed to bake more because hapas nefes yofe bizman shatana male. That's also called eichel nefesh. Sounds like it's a machlekes Tanakam and Rav Shimon Elazar. What's heist eichel nefesh? Tanakam says eichel nefesh means I take food that's not really edible and I bake it and I cook it and I make it roi lachila. But let's say I the food is baked anyway, the food is good anyway, but I want to make it fancy, shmensi, delensi, even fancier. Are you permitted to do a malach? That's also called eichel nefesh. It's very good, it tastes very good. Are you permitted to do a malach that it should even taste gor gewaldig? So that sounds like a machlek is tana kamer ab shimon alozer. That's a simple pshat. So frektesis akasha, the Gemara there paskens like ab shimon alozer. What does it mean?
That you're allowed to bake extra.
That you're permitted to do a malach.
Should be better.
In order that it should be even fancier, taste even more geschmack. So what's wrong over here? If he wants to bake twice as much, he wants to bake his challah with the goy's bread at the same time. So the tana is going to be more mullet. So one could have answered, Hachamaskin only has an oven like we have. You bake one after the other after the other. You don't bake them all at the same time. And it's just not so. It's a hechetimtze. We're baking more bread. It's not going to enhance the flavor of the bread that you're going to eat on yon. Could have given such an answer. So Taisus doesn't answer like that. Taisus assumes that it's the same kind of an oven. And if he would have baked the Nochri's bread at the same time that he's baking his own, it would have enhanced the flavor of his bread, and you're still not allowed to. So, how can it be? But the Gemara before Paskins halacha kerb shemim and alozer. That's their kasha. You can't say the chitema. You can say our Gemara goes like the Tanakama who holds that you're not allowed to do malacha to enhance it. How can it be? But we pass like kerb shemim and alozer. The Gemara says that that's the din. So Taisus gives the teretz as follows. Taisus says, the Gemara is assuming that the din is like Rabbah, that you say hoyel. So on daf yud zayin amid aleph, he's baking twice as much bread as he plans to eat today. He plans to eat half of it today and half of it tomorrow. But theoretically, if he would want to, he could have invited a lot of guests. They would have Yiddish guests. They would have eaten everything up today. But he's not inviting all these guests. So according to Rabba, on the level of the Raisa, that's also called eichel nefesh. Because of the theoretical possibility of having everything eaten up today, the situation sets itself up automatically. You don't need kavanas agavra. That's the nekudas amachlek. Because Rav Chizda holds you need kavanas agavra to eat it today. And Rabbi says the circumstances set it up as an eichel nefesh case. So on the level of the rice, it's already mutter to bake all the bread today. The shail is, but with the rabbon, and you're not allowed to rely on oil unless you have a big shasatchak. Shasatchak like behemu mesukenes and af chafei. Or shasatchak like an erev tavshilin case when Yom Tov falls out on erev Shabbos. So, so midirabbanan you're not allowed to use oil. So Taisa says on the level of the rabbanan, that's when Rav Shimon Elazar says to be mater and isa the rabbanan. You say that since it's going to make my bread more geshmak, the bread that I am going to eat today is going to even taste better, superior flavor. So that's a svara to be mater and isa malacha the rabbanan. But if you're faced with the malacha deraisa, if you don't have any hoyle, to be matar on the level of deraisa, to be matar and isa deraisa, Reb Shimon Elazar would be masking with the Tanakama, that to make it more geshmak, there's no heter eichel nefesh. That would not be mutar. So Taisa says like this, the Gemara in Yud Zayin and Aleph is talking, I'm baking all the challahs, all my challahs. So if theoretically I want to invite everybody to eat all the challahs up today, we can do it. But I don't plan to do that. I plan to eat half today and half during the course of the week. So that's hoyel. On the level of the rice, it's mutter. But the rabbanon, you're not allowed to use hoyel. But to be matter, this is the rabbanon, not to use hoyel. So you say, since it enhances the flavor of the bread that I'm eating today, so that's also called echal nefesh. But agamar daf chafalef is an isa chetzes shal sal chetzes shal nachri. Half of it belongs to the nachri. He's not going to give me permission to eat his hair. So it's an outright, there is no hoyel over here. You can't say hoyel on half of the dough that belongs to the nachri. The half that's the nachri is the nachri. There's no heter at all. You can't say theoretically. What's theoretically? It's not machlinish kimbalabas over here. So this, we're dealing with an isa deraisa of cooking on yontif where there's no heter echal nefesh at all. Lachem lo liakum. So if there's no heter echal nefesh, it's not going to help. You enhance the flavor of the bread that you're eating. What does it help that you enhance the flavor? That heter, that hapas nefesh yofeh bizman shatana mole, is only a svar to be matar in isa derabonin after you've already said hoyel. But if you don't have any hoyel, so you can't be matar in isa deraisa.
Yeah, but the isa akim. It's a throw-in. But if it belongs to, it doesn't mean that from the center to the right belongs to me, from the center to the left belongs to the goy. So if I want to eat here, I vote here. If I want to eat from the other side. So the food is more or less approximately the same as over there.
But he knows for sure that he can't eat all.
That's true.
So he knows for sure he's baking twice as much as he's allowed to.
Yeah.
He can eat either this half or that half, but he knows he can't eat all of it.
Or he can eat pieces from all over.
Okay. But he knows for sure that half, there's absolutely no heter echal nefesh. So to say that should be mutter because it enhances this, it does nisht. That's not a heter. That's what Tosfos says. So that's what we learned last week. So then the Gemara continues after the whole discussion. The Gemara goes, Boy Minemir Avhune. That's about 15 lines from the bottom. The two dots, and the Gemara starts a new topic. Bo menei Rav Huna, the yes, the shayla Rav Huna that goes as follows: Hani b'nei Baga, the Jews who live in the valley. Baga is a valley, I think.
Four villages.
The Ramu alai who kimcha the b'nei chelo. The villages, and it's their responsibility. Mitam dina the machusa, the government requires of them that whenever there are goyish soldiers passing by, it's their responsibility that they have to provide them with food. They have to bake for them. The Ramu Alayu, it's mutal on them, the obligation, kimcha de b'nei chelo, if the soldiers, the chayalim, the goyisha soldiers, come with flour, their flour, they have the right to ask of the Jewish villagers, whoever the village, Jewish, non-Jewish village, they should bake the food for them. They're mechuyev to bake. So the shayla is on Yontov. Are the Jews allowed to bake on Yontov? Because we darshan lachem, you're not permitted to bake for an achri. You're not allowed to bake for an achri. What's the din?
They have a
brayer. See if it's a safik pikuach nevesh. Safik pikuach nevesh. No shaila. Okay. Pikuach nevesh is doich everything. Yeah. Safik pikuach nevesh is doich everything. But let's say there's no safik pikuach nevesh with a small. Let's say if they'll have to pay money. We'll have to pay a bribe in order to. No, that's also called. Because nefesh is matir, and you're not mechuyev to pay a bribe. But let's say they can say, our religion doesn't permit us to bake for you today. We'll bake for you tomorrow. But our religion doesn't permit us. If they can get away with that, that's the shot. Are they permitted? Are they permitted to bake? Or do they have to try to delay their way out of it? That's the shot. If there's a self called nefesh, there's nothing to discuss. So he answered, Omalahu, so Rav Huna answers the shayla, Chazino, we have to take a look. In other words, it depends. Hiyavi le rifta li yinuka, the Jews would bake the flour on behalf of the Nachrim. And after they bake all the, let's say they say, bake us cookies, or bake us 10 little rolls. So after they bake 10 little rolls, so if they'll request of the Nachri, we were nice enough to do the malacha for you baking all of your rolls or all of your cookies. Is it okay if I take one cookie? So often they'll give you permission. Like a person works in a kitchen, he works in a restaurant, so it's understood, self-understood. That the person takes some of the food that he's working on as he's doing the work. So that's what he says. Chazina, you take a look. Chazina, you take a look. Iyabi le rifta the nuka v'loy kapti. If you would give a little challah to a child, and the soldiers would not get angry, why would they not get angry? Because the Jewish
work
villagers worked. Yeah, they serviced them. They did they were nice enough to bake it for them. But they were nice enough to do it. So then I say, you don't know which one they're going to give to the child. So kol chada v'chad, every little chalale, chazi li'inuko is considered roi l'achilas ha'odom, ha'yisrael, v'shari. Then you're allowed to bake all of the chalas. However, v'ilav, but if the soldiers would be makpid, they would be upset. If they would hear that the Jews who baked it
gave away
one to a Jewish job, so then it's purely lachem v'lo li'akum. Then it's mamish. All the baking is done for the akum. So then you're not allowed to.
Why do you specify yinuka child?
Maybe they'll have more. Maybe they'll be kinder on it. That number one, people, everybody likes children, and number two, he didn't work for me. So there's more of a chance if I say it's for a child. There's more of a chance that he'll give me permission to take. So the question is, how does this Gemara shtim with the previous Gemara? We just had Amar Rav Chizde. We just discussed Amar Rav Chizde. You're not allowed to bake flour that's on the shutfas between the Yisrael and the Nochri. Why? Because Efshalim Mefalga Belisha. Let him divide it in half. Let him only bake. Let the Jew only do the malacha on that part that belongs to him. And don't do any malachas on the chelik that's la'akum. The chelik that belongs to the Nochri, you're not allowed to do malachas. So here, what does it help that the Yisrael is going to bake 15 little bukalach for the Nochri? He's going to take one of them. But you know that there are 14? They won't let you take all 15 rolls. They'll let you take one roll. If you make 20, they'll let you take one. But if you make... they won't let you take all 20? So how are you permitted to bake all 20 in the schus of the one? The 19 is purely for the Nachri. So how is that mutter? So Rashi says it's a machlekes. Rashi says that this Rav Huna is mekel to bake all 20 because one of them, you don't know which one. Because you don't know which one, whether this one or this one or this one or this one. So each one is a suffix. Maybe this is the one that I may want to use for Yisrael. So Rav Huna says that that's permissible. Rav Chizda just before said it's not permissible. I have a shut for Yisrael as an achri, like you said before. It's not that Adkan, this chelik to the right belongs to the Yisrael. The chelik to the left belongs to the achri. It's not this chelik, that chelik. 50% belongs to the Yisrael. 75% belongs to the Yisrael. 25% belongs to the achri. Percentages. So before Rav Chizda said, even though it's not specific, even though it's just vague, and it may turn out that it's this that I'm going to take, may turn out that, still not allowed to. And here Rav Huna says that you are allowed to. So Rashi says that's the machlekes. Upalek Rav Huna ad Rav Chizda. Rav Huna here disagrees with Rav Chizda. The Amar he just said before, chetz shenach chetz sheisal asa lafaisa. Rav Huna holds that it's mutal lafaisa, because since each bulkala, since each cookie may be eaten by Israel. So that's like, it's something like koil, theoretically. Lamaisa, he's going to give all 20 rolls to the Nachri. He's not going to take any. But Chazina, you take a look. If theoretically, if you would take one and give it to a Jewish child, so it wouldn't be makbid. So it's considered, and each and every one is considered hoyal on this and hoyal on that and hoyal on that. So since it's hoyal, and it is, Ashas Atchak, it is. I mean, they're asking a shot. It's not a suffix pikuach nefesh, but it's very uncomfortable. They'd rather bake the rolls for the nochem. They'd rather not tell them it's my holiday and I'm not allowed to bake and my religion doesn't permit me to do it for you. The Jews would rather do the malacha for the goy. So it is a shas atchak. So the pashtus is, the Rav Huna says it's mutter because of hoyl. You rely on hoyl over here because of shas atchak. And this Rav Huna is in disagreement with Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda doesn't hold from hoyl. We know Rav Chizda doesn't hold from hoyl. Rav Chizda disagrees with Rabba exactly on hoyl. So Rav Chizda doesn't hold from hoyl and Rav Huna does hold from hoyl. So Tesis finds that difficult. A little Tesis Chazinon finds it difficult. What do you mean? Rav Huna disagrees Rav Chizda. The Gemara should say so. Rav Chizda l'taimei. Rav Chizda doesn't believe in hoyl. Rav Huna holds like Rabbi. Zog. Rav Huna holds like Rabbi. He disagrees Rav Chizda. You read the Gemara. It sounds like, oh, we pass like Rav Chizda and then we pass like Rav Huna. One psak after the other. And the Gemara never says that they disagree and it's either A or B. You can't pass them both. You look in Shulchan Aruch, they're both quoted. Pasuk Rav Huna, Pasuk Rav Chizda. How can it be if Rashi says that they disagree?
Yeah.
The Rav Huna is based on hoyl, and Rav Chizda is based on not holding hoyl. So that's what Taisa says. The Taisa doesn't want to accept Rashi. Pirish Rashi that he disagrees. So Taisa says he doesn't think they disagree. Vay Marie is no disagreement. Why? So he says, Pashit, the case before the Isas Chetzesh Shal Chetzesh Shal Nochri. The half that belongs to the Nachri, I'm not allowed to do any malachas on. What shaykhs do I have? I'm only allowed to do malachas on mine. I'm not permitted to do the malach on the chelik of the Nachri. But over here, if I won't, what are you going to say? Only bake the one roll that you're going to give to your child.
You can't bake one roll.
You're going to bake, you're going to bake one roll. They won't let you give it to your child. The soldiers come, a whole sack full of flour. And they say, here, mister, bake me 20 rolls. So you say, no, I'm only going to bake one roll and I'm going to give it to my child. This is ridiculous. If you'll if you say, yes, I'm a good citizen, I'm going to bake all 20 rolls. And then after baking the 20 rolls and be matriarch, then I'll take one. So they won't be makbid. Maybe. If chazina, if you see that they won't be makbid,
then you can.
If that's the nature of the case, so then you're allowed to do it. But you can only get to get one roll if you'll bake all the 20 rolls. You don't bake any. If you don't bake the 20 rolls, so you won't have the right to eat the one roll.
How do they know in advance that they will happen?
No, Rabbuna says it depends on nature, right, from the past, not today. From the past. If you know in the past that you once in a while gave one to a child and they weren't makbid, so then it's okay. But if you think they're going to be makbid, then you have to. Then it's not allowed, unless there's, of course, a suffix sakon. So that's what Taisa says.
Is any question of Vero via Invero you can't tell which belongs to what? And does that play any role at all?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think Brera plays a role in the Heterakal Nefesh. I don't think
so. Which one? Which role?
Which one belongs to?
That's called. That is the topic of Brera. Yeah, that is the topic of Brera. Brera would be like this. Let's say the Yisrael and the Nachri have a bakery together. And they keep open on Pesach, and that's Chomet Shavuot about Pesach. The Chelik HaYisrael is Chomet Shavuot about Pesach. Chelik HaNachri is Chomet Shal Nachri Shavuot about Pesach. Is Mutter, but it's all together. They never. How can you say which is the Chelik HaYisrael, which is the Chelik HaNachri? The Kolzman that they remain in business together. It's not shach to talk about Brera. The whole topic of Brera only goes Ha'achim Shecholku, Ha'shutim Shecholku. They used to be Shutim, and then they make a Chaluka. So if after Pesach they make a Chaluka on this Chomet that was sitting around in the shop for the duration of Pesach, so then we'll say if they'll make a chalukah, then we'll say the chelik that the Nochri has is Huber Adover Lamafreya. We paskin Badinim Deraisa Ein Breir, Badinim Derabbanan Yesh Breir. So Chomet Shavuot about Pesach is an issue Derabbanan. So if that's a Shagasari has this tshuva, exactly this shayla. So if you have a shutfus between Yisrael and the Nochri, and after Pesach they make a chalukah, so whatever chametz the Nachri walks away with, I'm permitted to buy. But maybe this was chemtzah shel Yisrael, she'over all of our Pesach and it's all. So the answer is no. But the Rabbanon yesh brera. When you get to dinim the Rabbanon, I say yesh brera. I say who about David my friend that this was chomet shel akum all along. This was the chomet shel akum. If they never make a haluki, you can't say brera. That the Marsham has such a famous tshuva, and the later poskim say it's very shver. Let's say I take a loan from a bank. And I paid them interest. So every bank has Yiddish Shutfim. So how am I permitted to borrow money from a bank and pay ribis, Tachanisa ribis? So the Marsham says, he first claims that it's not ribis deraisa, it's only ribis derabbanan. How did it all of a sudden become ribis derabbanan? So he says it's only ribis habo miyad leiva la malva. If the malva lends to the leiva directly, and the leiva pays back to the malva directly. But if you have a middleman who's running the bank, so that lowers the Yisra Ribis from Ribis the Raisa to Ribis the Rabbon. As I said, that's a shver. There's such a Chuvas Rashi that Beis Yosef quotes the Mordechai, who quotes a Talmud Echad B'Shem Rashi, said that if the money is not given directly, so it's Hete Gomer. So the Mordechai says that it's a Talmud Toya. A lot of Talmud. Rashi had a lot of Talmud. So this Talmud didn't understand what he was talking about. So the Marsham says Talmud Toya, but it must be based on something. What did Rashi say that the Talmud wrote it wrong? He wrote it over in the notes wrong. But what did he say originally? So he's reconstructing. What did Rashi say? Mistamet Gizok, that if the money is not given directly, it's only ribis derabbanan. So the Talmud made a mistake. He wrote that it had the goma. But a little bit, there must be based on something. The Talmud didn't invent it from thin air. So Rashi must have said that it's not a ribis derais, it's only ribis derabbanan. So that's assumption number one that's highly questionable, that if the ribis is paid indirectly, it's not paid directly from the loiver to the mob, it's paid through a middleman. You give it to the man who runs the bank, he's not the owner of the money, he's just a pakid, he just works there. So the Marsham assumes, number one, that that's only ribis derabbanan. Then he says, premise number two is that you say, with respect to dinim derabbanan, yesh brera, with respect to dinim deraisa, you say, ein brera. That's a good premise, that says in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Then premise number three, he says, so when I borrow money from the bank that's on the shutfus between goyim and yidin, so you say, yesh brera midrabbanan. I say, I'm borrowing when the goyim borrow money beribis, they're borrowing the Jewish money. When the Jew borrows money, he's borrowing the goy's money. So he say, since the whole issue is only ribis the rabbanon, so you have a right to say yesh brei ribis the rabbanon. That's the harifus of the marsham. He's known as a big maker. That's harifus. So the later paskim say that they think that it's absolutely not correct, because when do you say yesh brei ribis the rabbanon? If you have shutzim shacholku, if they divide up later on, so then you say achim shacholku, shutzim shacholku. When they divide, he says, "Zeu chelka hamagia mishor yishenu lekach." Or he say, "No, maybe higiani chelka shalasheni." But if they're still in shutfus together, they have a bank together. The Eden with the Goyim have a bank together, and they're still together. They never divided it. So what should I have to say? Yesh bear with the rabbanu huver adavu l'mafred, that the Jew borrowed the money from the Goy, and the Goy borrowed the money from the Jew. That's why everyone's allowed to. The Jewish owners of the bank are permitted to take ribis because they're taken from the goy. And the Jew is permitted to borrow the ribis because he's taking the goy's money. But they never made a chalukah.
Yeah,
identical amounts.
Yeah, not identical. So, how can the whole thing is a pella? So they never made a chalukah.
What about the case of behemoth?
That the Gemara says the Yavshir
What do you have to come
under
that? I mean, why can't
they
say
yes,
also? That they are making a chalukah after the shechita.
You got to make a chalukah, but the shechita affected both halves. He did the malach on both halves, so let it be also how he did it. He did it until Sin Shaman, the chalukah shall nachri, to enable the nachri to eat. The nachri doesn't want to eat a live animal. So the answer is he didn't do a separate shechita. There's only one and only shechita that he actually decides possible no shechita to eat my part of the flesh. Have to do the same shechita to eat the nachri's flesh. That the nachri should be able to eat his flesh. I didn't have to do another malacha. It's the same one malacha. That's what the Gemara said. He actually decides possible no shechita.
What do a half a shechita and a half a shechita?
That's the problem. That's exactly the shaila. So the Masham gave this heter based on Yesh Breiris. Bank that's owned by shutfus between the Yid and the Goy.
The shareholders considered shutfus.
That's a shaila. That's a shaila. If you have shareholders and it's a corporation, so according to the deed of the Malchus, it's not considered that let's say I own 1% of a bank. Not considered that I own 1% of all the assets of the bank. I own 1% of the shares. And the corporation owns the money in the bank. So
I
that's
can't walk into Chesman and take money out of the bank. I'm an owner of the company.
Even if you're a shutif mamish, you can't walk in. Let's say your mamish is a shutif, not a corporation. Let's say your mamish shutif, you also can't just walk in. The rules and regulations, how you run a shutif, that doesn't prove anything. The fact that you can't just walk in and balabata, because you have to consider the other shutif. What do they have to say? But the question is here, that it's a corporation. So that was a big machloikis in Galicia before the war, whether the halacha recognizes such a concept as a corporation. There is such a thing as a chalashem bailus. We believe there is, let's say, tzedakah owns money, hegdish owns money. So it doesn't mean hegdish, the Rebbeinu Shalom owns the money. It doesn't mean the Rebbeinu Shalom. It means chalashem bailus of hegdish or tzedakah. What do you mean tzedakah? All of the aniyim? No. Chalashem tzedakah. It's a corporation that owns the money. So we believe there is. The halacha recognizes such a concept by tzedakah and by hegdish. But the question is, does the halacha recognize this gimmick of the din and the machuse, that if you have 1% of the shares in a bank, it means that you own 1% of the shares in the corporation, and the corporation owns the bank, but not that you own the bank like the government says, that you don't own the bank. So that was a big machlekes, and many gdolim held that we don't recognize that. We hold that you do own the bank. We hold that you do own the bank.
So according to that man, the Yomar, if you own shares in the Philip Morris, which owns bakery goods and so forth, on Pesach, you want to comment on Pesach.
That's correct. That's correct.
Even though you're a quote-unquote passive investor with 100 shares?
Okay, so that's the shaila. So Moshe Feinstein held a svara lahakel. He held that if you have an insignificant amount of shares, so when you buy 100 shares from a corporation that has 1 billion shares, you don't have das koina. And the halacha says you can't be kind of anything bal korchacho.
If you gave
chumitz, I just want.
No, Rav Moshe thought that it's just you consider you have bidet that is like an investment. When I buy shares, you don't have in mind at all an insignificant amount of shares.
You don't have in mind at all that you own
a chelik of the shutra. Rav Moshe held mikra din that the halacha does not recognize this din of the malchus of the corporation. Stokin hegdish, the halacha says there's such a chalashem bailus. It's owned by the Chalashem, by the corporation of Tzedok, it's owned by the corporation of Egdish. But here the Halacha doesn't recognize it. The Dina Machus Reg, but the Halacha doesn't. But Rav Moshe had a different reason why. He said when you buy an insignificant number of shares, he was convinced that the Kainer who buys the shares is making an investment. He making an investment, putting in some money, getting out of money, doesn't have Bidea that he's Kainer Chelek of something. So that's what he thought. And then Rav Moshe thought, that's what I was told. I never heard it. It's not in his swarm. Then he said that, and even if you don't accept what I have to say, but at least you should be made that by an issue de Rabbanon, you should be makel. When the Shaila is only the Rabbanon. When the Shaila is Bal Yerov Bal Yematzeh, that's the Shaila de Raisa. Do you have to worry on Pesach? But let's say after Pesach is over, do we have to worry because of Chametz Sha'ar of Pesach? Because there's an insignificant number of shares that are owned by Jews. Rav Moshe said, "V'negit the dinam derabbanan like Chametz Sha'ar of Pesach. For sure, you should rely on my svara." He said that the Kaina, the one who bought this insignificant number of shares, didn't have bedeya das Kaina. Well, let's say chalas chutz loritz. Let's say you have a bakery. Mm-hmm. So you have to be mafish challah. But what if it's a goyish owned bakery? Goyish owned bakery is no chiyuv to be mafish challah. But what happens if you have a yid who's a shutav? Very often you have the lawyer. Is that the lawyer of the bakery is a yid, and he, in addition to getting a certain salary every year, also has a share in the business. So let's say he has a share. He has such a percentage of shutvis that when they make a batch of dough, his share turns out to be 5 pounds of dough. If they only bake, let's say, 100, they only mix 100 pounds of flour at a time, they do a lot. Let's say they mix only 100 pounds of flour at a time, and he only has 1%, the yid only has 1% of the ownership, so 1 pound of flour, you're not chai b'challah. But let's say they do 300 pounds of flour at a time, and he has 3%. So he has a lot more, so you have nine pounds of flour over there. So then it should be chai b'challah. The Moshe said Chalas Chutz Loritz is only the Rabbana, and we have many Kulis and Chalas Chutz Loritz. So he said this should be Eingerechent in all the Kulis, that everybody should hold like my Svar. He was convinced that his Svar is correct even on the level of the Raisa, but he said at least when he gets the Din of the Rabbana, everybody should be masking to him that there's no Das to be claimed. That's what Moshe said about that. But what if he has a significant number of shares in the corporation? And he does plan to come to the meetings, and he does plan to give his dayas, and he does plan to balabata. So then you can't say just has bidaya to make an investment, he does not have bidaya to buy it. So then he does have bidaya to buy it. So Rav Moshe has another heter, when he gets to the ribis, not when he gets to the pesach, not when he gets to the chab, when he gets to the ribis, he has a tzad lahakel if the loiva is a corporation. He says if the malva is a corporation, that doesn't lighten matters. But he says if the loiva, if the one who's borrowing the money is a corporation, so what does that mean that it's a corporation that is not accepting a shibud aguf? Corporation means that it's limited liabilities. It means that it's only accepting shibud nechasim. So Rav Moshe assumed the chiddush that there's no prohibition of ribis deraisa, ribis derabbana. There are cases where there's an issa ribis deraisa, and there are 1,001 madregas of ribis derabbana in various different cases. The whole paragraph of Zaneshach is coming to explain when is it ribis deraisa, when is it ribis derabbana, and when is it not even ribis derabbana. If it's far enough away from the ribbis deraisa, then it's not even ribbis derabban. So Moshe postulated a klal, a svara pshuta by him, that the only time there's what to discuss that there should be sometimes an isa ribbis deraisa, sometimes an isa ribbis derabbanan is if the loive accepts a shibud aguf, a person or a group of shutvim, they accept the shibud aguf means if they don't pay, you can take away their property. Yeah. They owe the money. So they, and if they're going to pay Yosem and Akera, and they borrowed $1,000, they're going to pay $1,001, so they're paying more than they accepted. What if they never accepted any Shibud Aguf? It's only Shibud Nechasim? So they're not mechuyev to pay anything. It's just Nechasim and Shabbatim Lakatzer. Moshe postulates a cloud that then there's no Issa Ribbis Deraisa, there's no Issa Ribbis Derabbanan, there's nothing.
The trouble is most banks ask for personal guarantors.
So if you co-sign, so if the president of the corporation is going to co-sign,
So then that heter falls down the drain. Okay. But even that heter, the Rav Moshe said, he says this is a davar poshet by him. There's no Issa Ribbis Deraisa, there's no Issa Ribbis Derabbana. It's an eyes in the svara. It's a very good svara. But Rav Shlomo Zalman points out, without referring to Rav Moshe Feinstein, he has a sefer Mincha Shlomo, the first sefer that they put out, a collection of all of the essays that were printed already. So he says that's a very nice idea. That's a very good idea. That if there's no Shibir Aguf, but he has an often a tesis. There's a big fat tesis on the bottom of an Omen Aleph in Ozan Neshech, where Tesis talks exactly about this in the middle of a big fat Tesis, one line. So they say that it takes off Ribbis Deraisa, but Ribbis Derabbanan it still is. So Moshe holds that even if the bank wouldn't require the co-signer, even if there's no personal Shibir Aguf to co-sign, Reb Shlomo Zalman points out that it's still going to be a Ribbis Derabbanan. So it is a problem.
So by buying shares, how would this save a corporation? If I buy shares, I have to make a corporation or what? In order not to be over Fribis, to own the Chumitz or something like that, or from a bank I borrow money.
He said it's a significant amount, but it's a small
amount. No, but Ramosha's opinion. Ramosha says if the one who borrows the money doesn't borrow it as a private person, he borrows it as a corporation and he doesn't co-sign.
Yeah.
He doesn't co-sign as a personal guarantor. So then he claims that there's no Issa Ribbis Deraisa, there's no Issa Ribbis
Deraisa. Every time you borrow, you are Mishibit to the bank to pay back.
You accept the Shibir Aguf. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But they often ask for the person to co-sign.
Yeah.
They want the president of the corporation to sign that he personally should be liable.
The Moshe had, as long as Chase Manhattan owned like Deutsche Bank, so that's not really any problem there.
No, but he's not speaking about
Jews.
Be
the
Jews.
No,
the Jews who own stock.
There's some Jews who own shit.
Yeah, but we said before that the Sundays that they own is so
in you don't know. Sometimes
they have
mean,
no say about the management. They have no say.
They do say.
You don't
have
a say. If you're a shut, if you also don't have a say. Let's say we're shut from, not a corporation. Let's say all the people in this room go into business together with shut from. So I can't just walk in and I say, I'm the rabbi, I give the shia. What do you mean? You have the day according to how much money you put in. That's the day that you have. You can't come in and balabatava. So the same in a corporation, the same as in any shutvis. The fact that I can't just walk in and balabatava, that's simple. That's self-understood. The shaila is, Rav Moshe claims, when you buy an insignificant number of shias, so he claims that there's no das kaina. Okay? So that's a tzad lahakel by the chametz.
So if the loiva is a yisroel, and he is signing for the loan, but he's borrowing from what is generally recognized as a Goyish bank, there is no problem. The problem would arise only if the loiva is co-signing and he's borrowing and the loan comes from a bank that is at least partly Jewish.
Yeah.
Yeah, but every time people have shayas, then it's
usually
partly
you have
Jewish,
some Yidden who
are
shut from in a bank.
Yeah,
they told me Arab banks don't have any Yiddish shuts. But they told me Arab banks are very machmer on ribis, so they won't lend you anything without right ribis. They told me the Arabs are more machmer than the Yidden on ribis. I don't know. I have no experience.
So
Ramban Achumish, right, on Parshas Boy, that you only violate by Rabbi Matzah if it's Shaloi or Bishusai. If it's Shaloi, it's not Bishusai, so you don't violate by Rabbi Matzah. So some of the Gdolim in Europe held that shares in a corporation, true, it's Shaloi, but you can't say that it's Bishusai. That's what they said. Since you can't balabatavis, so they said that that takes off the Bishusai. That's a question. Is that so mukhruch that it takes off? Rabbi Tzala Ponovich has like that in his Chuvus in the Zecha Yitzchak. He claims that if it's a big company, a big shutzvus, he would say, not only a corporation, a big shutzvus, and you can't balabat of it all, you have no day, you're insignificant, your share is insignificant, so then even though it's shaloi, but it's not bishusas, according to the Ramban, there's no bayi rabbi matzah.
Is there anything said in halachah about the amount of percentage of ownership that must be Jewish in order to consider the bank or the corporation Jewish?
No.
Just left. It's the key to the whole question.
No, it's not Jewish. I'm one of the shutvim. Somebody ran ribbis.
I'm talking about the bank.
The bank is Nishken Gavre. The bank is not a human being. The bank is not Ivan. I think
the shutvim in the bank.
No, Rav Moshe says if you have an insignificant share, So you never had das to be koina anything. Yeah. So you treated it like a shutfus. You treated it like an investment. And you never had the bidaya to become a shutfus.
I'm talking about taking a loan and signing for the loan.
Right.
Getting the loan from a bank.
Yeah.
Now, which bank is Jewish? Which bank is... Bank Leumi is a Jewish bank. The Chase Manhattan Bank...
See, these poskimism doesn't make a difference, Jewish bank, non-Jewish bank. If there's one shutfus, who owns a... When I borrow $1,000, so one penny of that money is coming from Jewish money. So that's our shaila from Ribbis.
But how can you deposit money? You had an interest there as well.
Exactly, yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
Okay, that's the same shaila. Savings, the savings account,
yeah.
Same shaila. So Rav Moshe claims that the heter, Rav Moshe claims that since the loiva is the corporation, so that's mutter. That's mutter. Rav Shlomo Zalman thinks that that's not the mutter. That's not enough to take off the issa. There should still be an issa de Rabbana. I don't know. So maybe, maybe.
At the bottom of the sale of Bechiras Chomer, Rav puts down the bond before Mokom Shuhu.
Yeah.
The place where it might be. I was told, the Rav told me that when you put that down, you include ownership in stock. My question, people, I never asked me that earlier, students, but when you give over somebody a stock, you don't have some, you have to sign it over. So how effective is putting that down at the bond before Mokom Shuhu relative to the stock certificate if you're not transferring it by signing over the stock certificate? Like
right, the government would not recognize the sale. The government would declare that the sale of the shares done by a shtar mechira is not valid. If you don't record it by the stock exchange or whatever, the government would not recognize it. Yeah. But there is a certain aspect of the mechira of the shares which would be valid. I think that the voting rights the government wouldn't recognize unless it's recorded by the stock exchange. But the right to the revach can be separated from the right to vote. So the right to the revach, I think the government would recognize that you can sell that without the official sale.
No, in general, if you have stock, you don't have to sell it through the... you can sell it privately, too.
No, the government wouldn't recognize the sale, no. It's only recognized if you sell it in that form. But the government won't recognize it for purposes of voting. If there'll be a meeting of all the shareholders, So you have the right to vote, not the one to whom you sold because you didn't sell it properly, but the right to the revach that the government would recognize the sale.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what we're interested in. We're not interested in the voting rights. We're interested in the rights to the revach.
The Israeli banks may have a shtar mechira or some sort. It's Bank Leumi, Bank Hapoalim.
Mizrahi.
What do you mean? Has
they must have some kind of...
You mean a heteriska? Heteriska?
Yeah.
No. Okay. At the risk is another parsha, the parsha b'fnei atzma. Okay. Okay. So now the Gemara has a kasha. Frag the Gemara kasha. Dihotanyo, hakaravune paskin, that this is called oichal nefesh, shel Yisrael, that the Yidin are permitted, the Yiddish are permitted to bake for the Nochrim. They're allowed to bake 20, 30 rolls for the Goy if there's a possibility that maybe they'll take one of them. Maybe they'll take one of them. Hoyle, they don't have in mind to take any of them. But Hoyle, since if they would take one of them, that would be okay. And which one they're going to take is vague. They can take any one they want. So that's enough to be matir on the level of their isa, and this is certainly a shas hadchak. They don't want to start up. They would prefer not to start up with the soldiers. So b'shas hadchak, you rely on the hoyel. Frag the Gemara, is that true? V'hatanya, we have a brisa tasefta that seems to have a similar shayla and it contradicts it. Ma'aseh b'shimon ha'teimoni. This is a shayla. Who is this Tana Shimon ha'teimoni? Rashi says that he wasn't from Teiman. Shimon ha'teimoni is from Timnas. Mm-hmm. So it's really Shimon ha'timni, not Shimon ha'teimoni. Okay. Usually in yeshivas they pronounce it Shimon HaTimoni. And they point out that this Rashi holds not so. Shimon HaTimni. Whoever given a Tana. Ma'ase b'Shimon HaTimni, shelo bo emesh lebeis HaMedrash, he didn't attend Beis Medrash one night. B'shachar is the next morning, Mitzoy Rabbi Yudah ben Bava, the other Tana, man, Amal, 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 how come he didn't show up in the yeshiva? Amalo, B'leshes bo li'irenu, B'leshes is a troop of soldiers, Nachrim, Goyish soldiers, who big shalachtav is kol ho'ir. It was Yontif. Apparently they used to learn Leil Yontif. They used to, maybe Leil Shavuos, they were sitting up, staying up all night, whatever. But he had a tainer, Rabbi Yudah ben Bava had a tainer. How come Shimon HaTimoni didn't show up? Leil Yontif to the Seder in the Beis Medrash. But Yontif in the morning, he did show up. Maybe to the davening. So he said, where were you last night? So he says,
Hemesh could be yesterday, no? It doesn't have to mean last night.
Last night.
Could be yesterday. Could be. Okay. Okay. Usually? Whenever. Okay. Whenever it was. So he says, the Maisa Shahi was, it was Yontif and the Nachram Cain, who big shalach of his color, they wanted to take everything that we had, and we wanted to appease them, so we did the following, of Shachat Alehem Egel, we shechted a behemoth for them, v'ha'achalnum, and we cooked the food, and we gave them steaks, and it was delicious, and shine.
They left.
And they left. B'shalom. Shalom. P'tanim b'shalom. So he said, we got rid of them. So he said, Omaloi, so Rabbi Yudah Mavet tells him, Shemin HaTimoni, Tamei Ani, you saved the whole city of Gaza. They were going to confiscate everybody's property. They wanted to take, steal everything. And like this, he gave them only one behemah. They shechted one eagle and they broiled it. And everybody ate and they all enjoyed it. Yeah, but Yom Echal Ol Yontif, he did an aver. So if there would be a suffik pikoch nefesh, a sfek sfek et koch nefesh, avarit zecha kol tarkula. But apparently there was no suffik pikoch nefesh, only a suffik from hepsid moment. So hepsid moment, there's no heter to do malachis. So he says, I'm not sure, tamei ani im lo yotze scharchem behefseitchem. The avera that you did is so great, shari amatar lachem v'lo liyakum, you're not permitted to do malachis for the nachri. Near they shechted, and they broiled the flesh, they did netilas neshamen, they did bishol, afiyah, everything. So he tainas that he did a malachi, he had no head. That's what it says in the Tosefta. So isn't this the same as the previous case, fakedig mar v'yamai? If we're going to shech the behemoth for the goyish soldiers, yeah, and we're going to prepare everything, and they're going to make a suda, a ganze suda, so they're not going to let us eat a little piece of flesh. We can nibble off a piece of flesh in the kitchen before we even serve it, before they even see us. So if Rav Huna is right, that's called you're allowed to shech. If Rav Huna is right, that you're allowed to bake 30 rolls because theoretically there's a possibility to take one for yourself. And that's hoyel, so b'shas hatchak in matel. So either certainly was a shas hatchak.
It was even better because you can't eat a piece of meat without shechting.
It's even better. So they could have taken one piece of flesh for themselves. Theoretically, they could have taken one piece of flesh for themselves. So you see that's not true. Just because theoretically you can take one piece doesn't make it that it's called oichal nefesh. You saw be'amai. According to Rav Huna's thinking, why does Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava get angry at Shimon HaTamani? Chazi lemechamei, could have eaten a little piece of flesh. Amar Rav Yehuda says, no, it was a treifa behemah. It wasn't a kosher behemah, so the Yidin were out of the question. Egel treifa havoi. Freg the Gemara is so what, but they can still feed some of it to the klovim. And for the Gemara, no, that's a machlokes hatanoim. Some tanoim hold lachem of all the klovim. That you're not allowed, just like you're not allowed to do melacha for an ochi, you're not allowed to do for a keller, and sometimes I hold that you are permitted to do for a club. So that's what the Gemara quotes on machlokes hatanoim. Then the Gemara asks, if you want to distinguish between lachem lo liakum, lachem lo liakum, which is more mistabit to say? The akum zayin dach human beings.
Yeah, but they're
the behemoth zayin behemoth.
They're not obligated to you. You're not obligated to feed them.
So that's what the Gemara asks. Wouldn't it make more sense to say lachem v'lo leklovim to be marba lachem uliyakum? Because it's zayin dach human beings, sof kol sof. They are people. So how can there be a Tana who thinks lachem v'lo leakum, but leklovim you may do malacha? How could it be? It doesn't make any sense. So that's what the Gemara asks on the fourth line. My rabbi is l'rabsa kolim hotzi of the kachavim. How is that possible? The Gemara quotes machlekes Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Yosef Lili, and Tosis has a machlekes how he passed. Which way do you darshan over here? Gemara says, how can it be? And for the Gemara, not that you're allowed to carry matzah to the zoo on Yom Tov to feed the elephant. It's not my responsibility to feed the elephants. It means if I have a farm, and I have, it's understood. I mean, if I won't give the behemoths any food on Yom Tov, so they'll fast today. They won't die. But it's understood, it's my responsibility. They're
feed
like
them,
members of my members of my family. I'm supposed to feed them. So those klovim you're allowed to do. It didn't say you're allowed to carry food, you're allowed to cook food to bring it to the elephant. That's not my behemoth. So akum you're not allowed to do malacha because it's not my responsibility. Let's say it'll be an akum who's the maid in the house. And the agreement is that I do all the cooking. I don't want to have bishul akum, so I do. So according to this Tana, it'll be included. Lachem v'leklovim. Leklovim means whenever it's mezen same alecha. And la'akum, you're not allowed to, means when it's not mezen same alecha. So it's gemolti. You can have cases where the akum, it is mezen same alecha. If they're my employees, it is my responsibility. Can I have a case where the behemah is not my responsibility if it's a behem and a zoo. We in Shulchan Aruch, we happen to paskin all three drashas. Lachem elo liyakol, lachem elo leklov, and lachem elo lagavoya. Korbonis, then a nad zmanon kavua. So we paskin that all three are rasa. But here, there were tanoim, each tana holds. So one tana holds, lachem elo leklovim. You're not permitted to do malacha for behemoth. It's not a human being, but for a human being, if it's a nachri, even if it's my own behemoth, yeah. I'm not permitted to do. I'm allowed to feed them. Food, that's not a malacha, but to do a malacha,
them, yeah.
To carry, to cook, you're not allowed to, right? So that tana we understand, that you're not allowed to do it for a keller, but for a human being, even if the human being is an achri. But this tana holds for akum, you're not allowed to do malacha for the klov, you are allowed to, so the Gemara says that you have to tone that down. That's lab davke. Akum, you're not allowed to, means whenever it's not mizene same malacha, and klov may means when it is mizene same malacha. That's
so,
the Gemara.
So if the government soldiers come to you and it is the norm to feed them when they come in, either al kavod habriyos or pikuach nefesh, could you consider that they're mizanus is on you, that you have to support them?
Should be. Then it should be considered mizanus same alechem.
How different is that from the mate?
They maybe they can get away from
yeah.
it. Maybe they can get away.
Okay.
No, but are we passing all three lechem v'loy l'akum?
The way we pass, yeah.
But if you passing, then you're not allowed to do for a maid either.
Right. The way we pass, can everything is also.
So see,
yeah.
You're not allowed to do for a maid.
Yeah, but
right?
the word is, if you hold from this chilek between
yeah,
lechlov
right.
and your maid,
be
and l'akum, you're not allowed to, because it really depends on the same alecha. So then he has a taina. When the soldiers travel around, they don't travel around with a kitchen. So it should be mutal. It's mutal on all the balabatman that they should cook the food for the soldier. Then it should be mizayin the same alecha. Should be considered the same as behem. From the Gemara it appears not so.
Yeah.
Because the Gemara asked anam and aleph. Why didn't they feed it to the behem? Sounds like the behem you may do malacha because it's mizayin the same alecha. So the soldier should also be mizayin the same alecha. What do you expect the soldiers to carry with them a whole kitchen? From the Gemara is mashma not so. I don't know. Yeah. So that's the machlekes atanaim. How do you darsh in the pasuk? Lachem v'lo liyakom, lachem v'lo liklov. Ma both are all three. Lachem v'lo ligavoy. So then the Gemara has a kasha. Amalei Abayi le'Rav Yosei. Abayi has the kasha. Frank the kasha. Abayi was a talmud of Rav Yosei. Yes, the kasha. According to Rav Yosei, gliv d'am lachem v'lo liklovim. That's how we pass it.
Yeah.
That you're not allowed to do malache on behalf of a behemah. Akasha, how are we allowed to feed the animals on Yontif? Hari Sufli, Rashi says Sufli, or Garini tomorrow. When you eat the dates, they're left over with the pits, which are not Roy Lachilos Adam. But the behemoths can eat it. So let's say I have a ton of pits. I have food that's not Roy Lachilos Adam, but it's Michael Behemoth. So, huh? Oh, that's right. If you eat the tomorrow on Yontif, then it's going to be Noila. But let's say I ate it tomorrow before Yontif. So I have a sack full of pits that at the beginning of Yontif it was Michael Behemoth. So in that case it wouldn't be Noila, it's just plain old Michael Behemoth. So by Frekta Kasha of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef, according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, that you're not allowed to do a Melach on Yontif for the sake of Michael Behemoth, how are you allowed to feed the animals the Michael Behemoth?
But you're not doing a malocha here.
So that's what Taisa says. You're not doing a malocha
here.
Right. What's the problem?
Yeah.
Prepare them.
Huh?
Prepare them.
No, he's not asking books. If he ate, that's what he said. If the tamarim in the beginning of Yontif were tamarim, Michael Adam, and then you ate up the fruit, and then you left with the garinim. So it's Michael Adam Shinishtan Elias Michael Behemoth, so that's Muktzah, so that's Taka Machlokes HaTanoim, and on Yontif we're Machmer, that's Noila Shanigam, on Yontif we would be Machmer. So that's Taka Asa. So he's talking a sack of Garinim from last week.
Yes,
by the time Yontif begins, when Yontif begins, it's already Michael Behemoth, so it's no problem of Noila, no problem of Muktzah. So there's no problem of Muktzah, so what's the Shad? He's not doing any Malachi. What's the Kasha?
Muktzah is even before, in other words, if it's not Michael
right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but what if it is Michael Behemoth?
It is Michael Behemoth.
What if it is Michael Behemoth?
No, but
that's what he's feeding to the Behemoth.
Yeah, he's giving them to eat, so it must be Michael Behemoth. It's not giving them junk.
Oh, so Taisus touches it up. So Taisus explains what it is. We have in Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham quotes a Rashba from Masechet Shabbos, where the Rashba has like this. Let's say if you have raw potatoes in the refrigerator in the middle of the summer. A lot of people put raw potatoes in the refrigerator
shouldn't sprout.
So the Magen Avraham quotes the Rashba that apparently raw potatoes are roi l'maichel behema. On a farm, you can feed it. But the human beings don't eat raw potatoes. So on Yontif, raw potatoes are not mukta because you're permitted to cook. You're allowed to cook on Yontif. So the raw potatoes are not mukta on Yontif. You can cook it. But on Shabbos, that you're not allowed to cook it. So the raw potatoes are not Michael Adam. It's Michael Behema. Michael Behema is also not mukta. No, I don't plan to feed it to the Behemas. I don't live on a farm. I plan to eat it myself. I plan to save it till after Shabbos is over, and then to cook it. So right now on Shabbos, it's not Michael Adam. It's not Roy with any stretch of the imagination to make it into Michael Adam because you're not allowed to cook it. And it's not Michael Behemer because it'll be a hefset moment. I don't want to feed it to the Behemers. So the Mele, the Magen Avraham says that it's Mukta Mamish. And Mukta Mamish, you're not even allowed to move. Let's say you have to rearrange things in the refrigerator to put everything in on Shabbos, to put in the leftover soup and the leftover chicken and leftover kugels and everything. So you're not allowed to even letzarch gufa letzarch. Any mukta. You're only allowed to move letzarch gufa letzarch mekoma. Klisha malach talisa. Klisha malach talisa is not mukta. Klisha malach talisa is a hammer, a screwdriver, a pen, a pencil, a kli. A kli is right away, it's not mukta. But if the thing is mamish mukta, mukta means that it's not Michael Adam and it's not Michael Bayman, and it's not a kli.
Raw potatoes are like stones, in other words.
Right. So raw potatoes is like Eitz Ma'avon of Yof. It's considered a piece of junk on Shabbos because you're not allowed to cook it. So the Magen Avraham says it's mukta mamish. You're not allowed to move it. Let's say I'll take a pot of food and I'll push it in on the shelf in the refrigerator. The mele, the raw potatoes will move to the back. So that's still to mukta manatzad. It's artav ramuta. That's okay. But to move the raw potatoes biyadayim, to take it out of the refrigerator, to move it around with your hand, that you're not allowed to do. Tilta mukta on Shabbos is not allowed. Even letzarch gufa, letzarch mekoma. So that's what Tosis interprets over here. These sufli lechevosa, what was the Gemara's kasha? Abayas the kasha Rabbi Yosef. According to Rabbi Yosef Aglida, that's how we pass them like Rabbi Yosef Aglida. That we darshan lachem below the klovim. You're not permitted to do a melacha on yontif for the tzarech of the klovim. How are you permitted to feed the animals, the garinim? How do you throw it to them? How do you give them the food? So what's the problem? How do you give it? You're not doing any malacha. So Taisa says no. It means like this. These sufli, these garinim, are not roi lachila unless you're going to
chop them up.
It's very hard for the behemoth to eat it the way it is. You have to chop it up. So what's wrong chopping it up? What malacha is that? So Tosfos says that that's called makabat patish derabbanan. Makabat patish derais is if you make a kli, misakin money. I make a kli. Let's say I take a wood and a nail, nails and a hammer, and I bang together. I make a table. I make a chair. I make a kli. But let's say I didn't make a kli. I take food which is not edible. Let's say I take raw food and I cook it on Shabbos. So that's the malacha of mevashel. Would you say that every time you take raw food that was inedible and you made it roi l'achila, oh, that's a misakin mana also? It's a double malacha. It's one malacha of mevashel and another malacha of misakin mana. So the pashtus is on the level of the rice, and misakin mana is only by mana. Mana means a kli, Aramaic, mem nun alef. Mana means a kli. There's no misakin mana on the achla. The rabbanon is misakin mana. If you have tevel and you mafresh shumas the maestro, so the Rambam writes that that's misakin mana mid the rabbanon. But there's no misakin mana in a Torah. So that's what Taisa says over here. If you have food that the behemoth really wouldn't eat it the way it is, you're going to have to chop it up. The behemoth can't eat it the way it is. So you're going to have to chop it up or grind it up or bang it to soften it to make it edible for the behemoth. So that's a malacha midrabbanan or misakamana, just like being mafish shumus and maisis is to make it edible for us, for human beings that you're not allowed to. So to make it edible for the behemoth, to soften it, would be a Misakin Mana Rabbanan. It's a Gemara in Shabbos that has like this. Taisa didn't invent it. It's an idea. It's a Machlokes Amoraim in Shabbos. The Taisa says that this Gemara goes with that Amora in the end of Masechah Shabbos. So this is like raw potatoes in the refrigerator that the Magen Avraham quotes the Rashba, that on Shabbos the raw potatoes are mukta because you're not going to feed it to the behemoths, raw potatoes. You're going to save it and you can't cook it on Shabbos. You're going to wait till after Shabbos. So right now it's not Michael Adam, it's not Michael Behemoth. So if you have these souffle, you have these garini hatmarim, it's not Michael Adam, that's out of the question. It's garini, it's the pits. And it's not Michael Behemoth either, because the way it stands, now the behemoths can't eat it. So the only way to make it edible for the behemoths is to do a malacha midirabbanon. So are you allowed to do this malacha midirabbanon on Yom Tov or not? So if you are like Rabbi Yisag Lila Lachem, B'loy L'Klovim, raw potatoes on Yom Tov are not muktzah because we can cook the raw potatoes, we can eat it. But this souffle, you're going to have to do a malacha midirabbanon to prepare it. So then it should be muktzah like raw potatoes. On Shabbos is muktzah. So the Rabbi Yisag Lili, the souffle L'Chevosah, should become muktzah on Yom Tov. That was the kasha. Why should it be muktzah on Yom Tov? Because the only way to make it edible, Michael Bayman, is to do a malacha of Mesak and Mona Midrabbana, which you're not allowed to do even for the Bahamas. That was the kasha. So he says, Rabbi Yosef answers, it's not muktzah for different reasons. Chotzi la soke. On Yom Tov, what are the things that are not muktzah on Shabbos? On Shabbos, whatever is a kli is not muktzah, whatever is Michael Odom, whatever is Michael Bahamas is not muktzah. On Yom Tov, there are more things that are not muktzah. Let's say I have logs on Yom Tov. It's not Michael Adam, it's not Michael Behem, it's not a Kli either. But the logs, Chazi La'asoke. Since on Yom Tov you're permitted to burn logs in order to cook food, are permitted to burn logs in order to keep the body warm, that's Mutar on Yom Tov. That was a Mishnah earlier in the first Perek. So logs on Yom Tov are also not muktzah. So that's where Rav Yosef answers, the souffle, these garinim, are not muktzah, even though you're not allowed to be merakech them for the behemoth. And from that perspective, I should say that it's not Michael Behemoth, should be muktzah, but it's not muktzah for different reasons. Chazi la'soke, you can use it to make a fire, you can use it as a fuel for a fire. So Abai asks back, that's only a correct answer, tenech b'yaveshto. If the garinim are dry, but if they're biritifta, what if they're still very juicy, if they're still moist,
it's not going to burn well.
So it's not going to burn well, so people are not going to use it as fuel for a fire.
But biritifta, you can give it to the animal though. If it's biritifta,
I don't know, apparently biritifta
is also not good,
still not edible for the animal, you still have to bang it, right? So he says Amalei, so Rav Yosef answers him, Chazi lehesek gadol. If you have a big flame, you have a big fire, you throw in a couple of logs that are still moist,
also burn.
So the fire is so big, so it'll burn. It can be. You can also serve as fuel.
Rabbi, if the pits are soft, then can't the animals eat them? Chopping them because the cattle can. If these are soft, the animals
cannot.
I don't know. Tesis is assuming. I don't have a better shot. Tesis is assuming, according to their shot, the animals cannot eat. Huh?
That all of them have to be prepared.
That's what Tesis assumes. Even the retif that has to be prepared. That's what Tesis assumes. So the Gemara effect Akasha, but you only explained Yontif. When you're allowed to do a hasoka, you're allowed to burn logs. What about on Shabbos? Well, you're not allowed to burn logs. So the only thing that's not muktzah is Michael Odom or Michael Behema Kelim. So Kelim it certainly isn't. Michael Odom is out of the question. And it's not Michael Behema either. Because it's the mechusa, the tikkun. It's mechusa tikkun. And even if you don't hold like Rabbi Yisaglid, even if you hold lachem afilu leklovim, that you're allowed to do a malach on yontav leklovim, but on Shabbos you're not allowed to. But the ma'isim mechol yom, apparently they used to feed it to the behemoths on Shabbos also. They used to feed it to the behemoths on Shabbos.
That's
so he says,
how could you do
first
it?
He starts off the yontav. Now he asks, after asking all the questions, now he comes around. Abai effect Hashanah, but I got a kash on Shabbos also. Teinach, the Yontav, the answer that you gave, Chazi La'Soke, is only a valid answer on Yontav. B'Shabbos, Ma'ikon Lemei, may not let do any Hatzok on Shabbos. So he answers him, Metaltalim Lahu, Agav, Rifto. Now what? There's a din of Kikarei Tina. It's a strange din. Jesus has difficulty with this din. The Gemara says it's only mutter by mace. If you have a mace on Shabbos, a mace is mutter b'chamo, and it's a mace is mutter because a piece of junk. So a mace you're not allowed to handle on Shabbos. So what if the mace is mutter b'chamo? You don't have any goyim to take him out of the sun. So the body's going to start to smell.
No, right?
The Gemara says Shlomo Melech gave the Yetzer to use a kikarei tinuk. If you put some food on top of the mace, and then you carry the mace, the mace itself is muktzah, but you put a non-muktzah on top, so then you can carry, because you're carrying the two together, the muktzah with the non-muktzah. So the Gemara says the same over here. The difficulty is the Gemara says in Shabbos that this trick, this heta, this kula, kikarei tinuk, to carry a muktzah together with a non-muktzah and one tiltal, is only a special kula by mace bilvad because of kavod abriyah, because of kavod hameis. And it doesn't apply anywhere else. How come over here the Gemara does apply? The Tesis works on that kasha. The little Tesis, a good kasha. Tesis has to work on that. So the Gemara says, what you should do over here. The kasha was, how can you feed it to the, how can you handle these things? It's not right. Lachilas beim unless you're going to do a malacha. So let it be mukta. Let it be mukta. So the Gemara says you're right.
Lehesek good. Lehesek.
No, lehesek. That's on Yontif. That's the reason why it's not mukta. But on Shabbos, it's not good for hesek. So how can you feed the animal? So wait a minute. So Tosis is stuck over here. What do you mean? How do you feed the animal? But you can't feed the animal unless you're going to bang it up. And chop it up is dacha malacha. And even if you hold on Yontif, the malacha is mutta, but on Shabbos, the malacha is dachaster.
Yeah.
What do you mean, how do you feed the animals? The animals are not going to eat it.
All right, so what do you mean? What's
going to
help on? Put it on a kikir?
What's it going to help to give it to the animal? They're not going to eat it.
Yeah.
So Taisis Mutch is over here. A very shveri gemara. So Taisis Mutch is over here. They say, it's very lachil idea, tchak.
If they're real hungry.
Yeah. Some of the animals will eat it the way it is. Most of the animals will not be happy eating it. So therefore, if you'll be merakechet, if you'll chop it up, make it softer, it will be a violation of misakin mona. If it's mamish roi lachila, let's say you have sandwiches, roi lachila, and you cut it into smaller pieces to make it easier to eat, that's not even misakin mona at all. That's not misakin mona. Let's say I have
a loaf of bread, I cut it up
here. Yeah, that's not misakin mona. You can't eat the loaf of bread the way it is. That's not misakin mona. It's roi lachila the way it is. But if you have something that's only roi lachila de'atchak, and you're gonna make it soft and make it roi lachila even shloya de'atchak, that'll be a misakin mona mid'rabbanan. So that was the Gemara's kasha. Since it's only roi lachila de'atchak, it does not qualify. Some of the klovim will eat it the way it is now, but still, it doesn't qualify to be called Michael Behema to remove muktzah, because it's only roi lachila de'atchak. A lot of assumptions Tosfos make because they couldn't figure out what's going on in the Gemara. So I'll put it in front of the behemoths, and when they'll get hungry, they'll eat it.
Yeah.
They'll have no brayer. But the shaila was, how can I feed it to the behemoths? Why not consider it muktzah? Because it's not really roi lachila. It's only roi lachila de'atcha. Why is it on? No, you're not allowed to prepare it. It's a malocha. Beim Shabbos, beim Yom Tov, so Yom Tov, he said, chazi la'asokit. But on Shabbos, you don't have the chazi la'asokit. For sure, you can't do the malocha of being merakechit. Yeah. So let it be mukta mamish. The Tanat Gemara says you're right, it is mukta mamish, but just like they were mate kikaretinek because of kavod abriyas, so mate kikaretinek because the animals are hungry. How the animal? Yeah, mishum tzabal chay. You have to be mate. So he says on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, I can take the sack of garinim and give it to the behemoths directly. I can't chop it up, but I can give it directly to the behemoths, and when they'll be starving, they'll eat it aydeat chak. On Shabbos, I can't give it directly. I have to throw in some food into the sack of garinim and then make it into kikaret. I'm not going to throw in a baby. I'll throw in some food that is mamish, Michael Behema, Michael Adam. Then I'll carry the whole sack using the din of kikaretinik. Our kikaretinik is only by mace. No, kikaretinik by mace, mishum kavod abriyas. And here it's mishum tzabalichayim. So that's what Yemat. That's what the Gemara says.
Why did you have to bring in all the pas? Why not an akeli, which is not a muktzah? What did you have to bring in to put it on pas?
The animal will eat.
And it's not giving the pas to the animal.
The Gemara asked that kasha. The Gemara, next kasha they're going to ask him. A few lines later.
Okay.
We'll have to get to that. Maybe. The Rambam in Hilchas Deis recommends that a person should never be extreme.
Yeah.
A person should always go the Derech HaMamutzah. And he gives you a few exceptions to the rule. And then the Rambam writes that sometimes if you live in a world that's all mekulkal, let's say you live in a world, you see that everybody's parutz barayas, that everybody's parutz begezel or something, whatever. So then he says you should go to the extreme until you'll straighten yourself out, and then you should bounce back to go to the middle of the road. So some of the Chachmei Yisrael had complaints against the Rambam. What does he put this into the Yarech HaZokeh? He got it from the Greek philosophers. He should have written in a book on philosophy. He shouldn't have put it into the Mishnah Torah, which is supposed to be all based on Mamori Chazal. So to defend the Rambam, the Maritz Chais has a whole essay, Shadal attacked the Rambam. So to defend the Rambam, Maritz Chais points out that all of these things that the Rambam said are straight Mamori Chazal. It happens that the Greek philosophers have it also. The Rambam is quoting from the Greek philosophers, but that's state in Gemara. So this Gemara state, and this is on this week's Parsha. The Gemara in the first daf in Nozir has been, the first daf in state, that the Gemara says, what is the Smichas HaParshias between Soita and Nazir. Hakam and Chumash, Nazir follows Soita, and the Mishnayis and the Gemara and Seida Noshim, you have also the two Mesichtas are next to each other. So the Chazal say, Haroi, Soita Bikulkula, Yazir Atzma Menayayin. If a person sees the terrible dangers that can come from drinking, what happened? How did the woman become a Soita? She must have been drinking, she must have been drunk, she must have been shikar. He, she, they were both drinking. So if a person sees what terrible kikulum should come out from drinking, Yazir Atzma Menayayin. Basically, a Nazir is Nikra Choyte, the Chazal say, Al Shitzir Atzma Menayayin. It's not right to be an ascetic, to pain yourself, to not to enjoy Oilam Azeh. But under certain, right? It's Nikra Choyte, he has to bring a Karbon Chatas. But under such circumstances, if he sees Haraya Sata Bin Kalkula, then we would recommend Yazir Atzma Menayayin. So what are the Chazal saying? That you should never be extreme, you should always go to Derech HaMamutza, you should not be an ascetic, you know, you should not abstain from Anoras Olam Hazeh. Unless you see that the whole world is Mekukal in one direction, then you have no prayer, then you have to go in the other direction in order to balance it off, and then if and when it'll finally straighten out, then you go back to the middle of the road. So the Rambam is just quoting the Chazal on this pasuk. That's the Mokar from, it's an important, we live in a generation where the generation is pirates and a lot of things.
Yeah.
So years ago, a lot of people felt they're going to go centrist orthodoxy. They're going to go middle of the road. Middle of the road is good if you live in Shonim Kitikunim. If you live in normal years, normal times, that the Goyish outside world is not so big. But if you see that there are Kilkulim in the outside world, so the Rambam, who's the main centrist, the Rambam is the one who talks about going Beshvila Mamutza, about going in the middle. He's the one, the same doctor, Maimonides, the same doctor, says that if the door is parut, it's from the Pasuk and this week's Sedra. Then you can't go b'derech hamamutza. You're going to go b'derech hamamutza. You're going to be schlepped along to the wrong side. So you have to go a little bit to the other side until things straighten up.